such a treasure and a gift to absolutely trust God without any reservations. What a beautiful message from Louis Palau. It's 9 o'clock and it's time for us to join David Jeremiah in the program Turning Point. And we're learning for the second time about how to slay the giants of fear in our lives.
The effects of fear are devastating and long-lasting. No wonder God's Word reminds us over and over again to fear not. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah continues his examination of fear, with special emphasis on how we as Christians should respond to fear when we sense it taking hold. From the series Slaying the Giants in Your Life, here's David with the conclusion of Slaying the Giant of Fear.
And thank you for joining us. This is May 31st, the last day of the month, and this is the last time we have opportunity to make available to you our resource for the month of May, which is the book, What the Bible Says About Love, Marriage, and Sex. It's a 284-page softcover book that reviews everything we've taught from the Book of Song of Solomon, 12 chapters, going into all the detail about what Solomon taught concerning love, marriage, and sex. It's filled with footnoted resources, all the quotes, all the stories, and it's a way for you to keep on your shelf and close to your need a book on marriage that comes right from the Word of God. So be sure and ask for your copy of the book on marriage when you send your gift to Turning Point today. We also want to remind you that Turning Point has a magazine that we publish every month, and we'd love to include you on the next list going out to all of the thousands of people who receive this magazine around the world. The magazine's called Turning Points Magazine and Devotional, and it's a wonderful way for you to strengthen your walk with the Lord each day. Ask about it when you call or write, and join us now for the final part of our message, Slaying the Giant of Fear.
Fear disobeys God's principles. Notice. Nevertheless, verse 26, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. I know this is going to be a little harsh for some of you, but let me say it to you again. Here's where the crux of this whole thing rests. Fear is disobedience. Fear is disobeying God. You know, there's a little phrase in the Bible. Somebody said they counted them, and there's 365 of them. I don't know if that's true because I haven't counted them. I tried to count them once, and I couldn't get to 365, so I don't use this illustration as fact. But many, many times in the Bible is this little phrase. You know what the phrase is? Fear not. Say it out loud. Fear not. How many times does God have to say to us, fear not, for us to understand that if we fear, we're not doing what God tells us to do? And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, well, Pastor Jeremiah, I can't help my fears. Well, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But you know, it's a very important thing to understand that if God has given us the principle of faith, to deny that principle is to deny God's plan for our life. And fear destroys and disobeys the principles of God. It says here, nevertheless, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Now, what's the result of all of this? I'm trying to tell this story as quickly as I can, but listen to me. The result of it was, because they would not believe God, God wasn't going to provide for them what He provided for them, what He had promised He was going to give them. And so in the next passage of Scripture that you read in the book of Deuteronomy and again in the book of Numbers, what you discover is this, that the whole generation that did not believe God was prohibited from going into the land of promise. All the adult generation, the generation of Joshua and Caleb, that whole generation was forbidden to go into the promised land. And they spent the next 40 years wandering around in the wilderness until that whole generation died off. The only two people that were allowed to go into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. And the interesting thing in the passage is that the children, who they were afraid were going to be destroyed by the giants in the land, the children were the only ones among them who were going to be allowed to go in the promised land. After the adult generation died off, the children then were able to go into the promised land under Joshua's leadership. How many of you know that if fear dominates your life, ultimately it destroys everything God wants to do for you? How many people I've known whom God has spoken to, God has given them a direction in their life, He's maybe called them to some ministry, called them to some mission field, called them to do something special, and out of fear they have refused to do it, and their whole life becomes just kind of a rambling, meaningless journey. My friends, fear can steal away from us the very thing God wants to give us. Fear is a powerful force. The spirit of fear that dominates a life can keep God from doing what He wants to do in you. So you say, well, Pastor Jeremiah, what do we do about fear? I don't want to just bring these problems to you. We all know that fear is a problem. Some of you come here today with fear as a great problem. I met a girl who in tears came forward and she said, I cannot believe you spoke about this today. I said, what do you mean? She said, I came here from the East Coast because I thought God wanted me on the West Coast. I came here looking for a job. I don't know anybody. I don't have a job. I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know any of these things. She said, there's never been a moment in my life when I've been more fearful than I am right now. And I come to church and you talk about fear. What do you do when fear begins to dominate your life? Well, I want to give you four or five things that I've learned from studying God's Word. Number one, you confront your fear honestly. You have to confront fear. Fear isn't going to go away. If you have a spirit of fear that chases you around and won't let you alone, it's not going to just one day not be there. You have to confront fear. You have to, first of all, understand what it is that's causing you to be fearful. I've had people say to me, you know, Pastor, I don't know what I'm afraid of. I just have this spirit of fear. We need to ask God to help you isolate what that fear is and confront it. Because I promise you, it's not something you can run away from. I read about a Canadian family who, fearing that another world war was coming, decided to move to another part of the planet where peace was guaranteed. So after months of deliberation, they chose the remotest spot they could imagine. And in March of 1992, they relocated to the Falkland Islands. And 5 days later, the Argentinians invaded, marking the start of the Falklands War. Can't run from fear. You know what? If you run from fear, wherever you show up, fear will be waiting for you at the door. So you got to confront it. Secondly, I've alluded to this already, but let me put it in positive terms. You need to confess your fear to the Lord. Confess it as sin. If God says, fear not, and we fear, we're disobeying God. You say, well, you can't command your feelings. No, you cannot command your feelings, but you can allow your will to obey the voice of God. And you can fill your life with His truth. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. There's only one way to get rid of fear. Like any other sin, we have to recognize it and confess it and repent of it and claim God's promise of forgiveness and go on with our life. So you have to confront your fear honestly. You have to confess your fear as sin. Thirdly, you need to claim God's promises of protection. Did you know that the Bible is filled with promises? And if I were a person who had a fearful spirit, I would take some 3x5 cards and I'd go home today and I'd take these references I'm going to give you in a few moments and I'd copy these verses out on a 3x5 card. And I'd put one on the visor in my car. I'd put one on the wall in the bathroom. I'd put one under the glass at my desk. I'd put one in my wallet, maybe one in my inside pocket. And every time the spirit of fear began to invade my life, I'd pull out one of the promises of Almighty God and read it out loud. God has given us His promises to encourage and strengthen us. You say, what kind of promises are we talking about? Let me give you four or five that you can put down on your list. First one, Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you, and He will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a good word, isn't it? Number two, Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Proverbs 3:25-26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Here's my favorite one. Isaiah 41:10. Read it out loud together. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You put those verses in your heart. Put them on your 3x5 cards, and when the spirit of fear begins to move into your life, just get them out and start to read them. And don't stop with these. Do your own research. You can find the word fear in the concordance of your Bible. Look up all of the places where it's found and mine those truths and make them a part of your system. And when the enemy comes along with his little whispers of fear, you tell him, forget it. I have a word from God. Fear not. Then you need to do something else that's going to sound a little strange and maybe like a pat answer, but it's not, and I hope you'll stay with me here. You need to cultivate a closer relationship with God. Now you say, Pastor Jeremiah, can't you come up with something more original than that? But hang with me, because this is really important. There are two men out of the 12 who came back and saw everything everybody else saw. Joshua and Caleb went every place where all of the other men went. They saw all the giants. They saw everything. They saw the walled cities. But they came back with a different view of things. They came back and said, we can do this. I often like to tell people the difference is the 10 who came back with the negative report saw the giants compared to themselves, and Joshua and Caleb saw the giants compared to God. And makes a lot of difference where you make the comparisons. But the scripture tells us that the only two men who were allowed to go into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. And the reason God blessed them was because there was something uniquely different about them than the other 10 men who represented Israel in that reconnaissance trip. Notice what happens when you read the Word of God, you find out what was different. What made the difference for Joshua and Caleb? I want to give you three verses. The first one in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked. Now say this out loud with me. Because he wholly followed the Lord. All right? The next one's in the book of Numbers. Notice what it says. But my servant Caleb, because, here it is, he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. Once again in the book of Numbers, notice this about Joshua and Caleb. Clear at the end of the verse it says, read it out loud with me, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And one of the passages says this, they were filled up with Almighty God. They had developed a relationship with God that made God the most important thing and the dominating thing in their life. So surely when they walked into this land that God had promised them and they saw the giants and the high walls and all the terror of the land, which the Bible says devoured its inhabitants, Joshua and Caleb just looked at that and said, well, this is no big deal for God. I mean, God, we can do this. God, you've given us this land. We can do it. You see, what we do when we're afraid is we cultivate a relationship with God that makes us begin to understand who God is and what His capabilities are and what His power is. And then we begin to see our fears in the perspective of a God who is great and mighty and powerful and for whom nothing is too hard. In the New Testament, there's a verse. If I had to pick a verse that's the most important verse about fear in all the Bible, this would be it. It's 1 John 4:18. I want you to read it out loud with me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now I want to ask you a question. What is the opposite of fear? What is the opposite of fear? What is it, class? Trust? That's a good one. What else? Courage? Those are all good, but they're all wrong. But let me tell you what, the opposite of fear is love. That's what the text says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. And in the book of Timothy, where Paul is speaking, and we mentioned this at the very beginning, what was the lesson? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a strong mind, a sound mind. So how is love the opposite of fear? Watch carefully. When your little child wakes up in the middle of the night, as they sometimes do, and they're terrified of the darkness, you don't rush into the room and say, "Come on, David, be courageous." You pick the little boy up in your arms and you hold him as tight as you can, and you tell him how much you love him and everything's okay and you're going to be all right, and you envelop him in your love. Isn't that what you do? One of my favorite preachers of another generation was a man by the name of Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside said that he and his little boy, when his son was little, he used to play this game in their house called Bears. He said, "I was the bear, and my son was the one I was chasing. And today it's not bears, it's monsters. But in his day it was bears." And he said, "We used to play this game all the time." And he said, "One day, when they were playing bears, the excitement got a little bit too intense. And the boy got cornered, and all of a sudden he got scared. And for a moment he hid his face. Then, whipping around and throwing himself into his father's arms, he said, 'I'm not afraid of you. You're not a bear. You're my daddy.'" And that's what God wants us to do when we're afraid, isn't it? Throw ourselves into His arms. He's our Father. The opposite of fear is love. When we understand how much God loves us, when we get a hold of that truth, we will not be afraid. We will know that He loves us too much to allow anything in our life that can hurt or destroy us. That He is our Father, and He loves us desperately. And then as we cultivate that love back to Him, remember, we can only love Him because He first loved us. When we begin to love Him as He has taught us by His love for us, that love begins to dispel fear. And when fear comes, we begin to express the love of God in our hearts that's shed abroad by the Holy Spirit by reaching out to those around us and ministering to them. There's nothing that can take you away from the paralysis of fear like getting involved in ministry to God's family and helping them and encouraging them and being a part of the things that trouble them. Perfect love casts out fear. So develop a close relationship with God. Learn to know Him as your Father. Don't spend so much time thinking about your fears. Spend all the time you can getting to know who your Father is, and you'll be so excited to know that He loves you as He does. There's one last thought before we close our Bibles. I've been talking primarily to believers here about fear because we all deal with it. But I want to take just a moment and talk to someone today who may not know the Lord. Did you know that one of the fears, perhaps the one that dominates people more than any other, is the fear of death? Death is the great fear. I had a friend in the city where I used to minister who was so afraid of death, he had a canister of oxygen in every place you can imagine in his home. He had one in all of his cars. He had one in every bathroom. He had one in every bedroom. He had one in the kitchen. He had one in the garage. And I was visiting with him one day and I said to him, "What is this?" He said, "Well, I have a little bit of a heart problem." And he said, "I'm afraid that one of these days I might have a heart attack and I won't be able to get oxygen." And he said, "And then I'll die." And he said, "I'm trying to do everything I can to hedge my bet." He said, "I'm trying to put things everywhere so that if anything..." You know, I think it's right to be careful. But that's a phobia. How many of you know that if death comes after you, all the canisters of oxygen you want to put anywhere may not help? I know some people that are just terrified of the thought of death. I need to tell you something. I mean this sincerely. I am not afraid of death. I'm not. I look death in the face, and I'm not afraid. Now, I don't want to die. I want you to make sure you understand that. I want to stay around as long as I can and torment you. But isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to say with absolute certainty, I'm not afraid of death? You know, the believer has the best that God has for him here, and if God brings death into his life, he graduates into the presence of the Almighty. But there are some people who go through all of their lives in bondage because of the fear of death. And I have a verse for all of you that I want you to note. It's in Hebrews. Listen carefully. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And watch this. And release those who through fear of death.